Because any proxy under 5613A, they may be limited or withdrawn by articles or bylaws subject to subdivision E. And E says...
My concern is I don't think the original articles or bylaws ever eliminated proxies.
They never had members either.
Right.
Well, so the members didn't have the right to vote by proxy.
I understand, but
so we're not taking it away from them.
My concern is if the original articles or bylaws did not address the issue,
mm-hmm.
articles and bylaws did not strip the proxy rights that are otherwise potentially created by the statute.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm troubled by saying I'm not sure I can say yes or no right away for that question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's true that Section 4.7 of the prior does address action of the governing board. The powers of the members of the board may not be exercised by alternates, by proxy, et cetera.
Yeah, but that's a different
issue. So
that
doesn't pertain to members of the corporation, that's true. Right.
So my concern is that in the absence of, stripping the members of, or stripping our, the corporation from the proxy rights set forth in the statute, in either the original articles or bylaws, are we ineffectively taking away the implicit proxy right that would otherwise exist by law by making this modification now? And that's the question I'm not ready to say yay or nay on, but I think it is a potential issue here. And one of the things I think we probably want to focus on first is how important is it for us to take away this proxy right? Because, and once again, to answer Carol's question, which I haven't had a chance to yet, Carol, what people do oftentimes in proxies is they will give proxies for an extended time period. Like, I hereby give my proxy for the next year to this person and have a limitation to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, every time you're getting someone to vote doesn't mean you've got to get a proxy solicitation for that vote at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, people can explain to me why it's such an important issue to not have the members have the right to give their vote to someone else when they're not around.
I think it stems, this is just my personal opinion, from a paranoia that some people have, that a large organized group, let's say a church, whatever the church is, whatever, and let's say they decided to take over the foundation, and let's say they had a large number of members, and they just got their members to each pay $25 and then cede their proxy, give their rights to the church to make their decisions as to this radio station. I think that's where it's coming from. Whether that could ever happen, I don't know, but that's where the obvious paranoia or real, real heightened concern is coming from.
I mean, proxies by their natures are revocable. They are revocable, so someone could say, well, gee, I don't like how you're using my vote, so I hereby revoke it going forward for the next vote. But, I just want the board to be aware that if we are going to go forward with excluding the proxies, We have two issues. One, how difficult is it going to be for us to get quorums going forward?
Mm-hmm.
Two, do we have an issue where does this raise an issue whereby we might have to go to the members to approve these bylaws? And, if we don't need to make, I can't give you a legal conclusion on that second point. And it really only becomes an issue if the board is really wants to exclude the proxy rights. And if that's what they really want to do, then I will try to come up with a legal opinion on that secondary issue.
Well, given your opinion, Kevin, I am concerned about our ability to get a quorum going forward on dry issues that are of not great moment to the members that are necessary. So I don't oppose having the proxy rights, having proxy rights, members be able to vote by proxy.
Any other comments?
Neither do I, because we've never experimented with membership before, so we don't know what we're going to get into.
Yeah, and this is where I think that the opposition, as Teresa says, has always been kind of political. But I have no problem with it as long as it can be done in a controllable,
yes, all the way
refinable
up.
Way.
Integrity, the concrete has to go all the way up for the integrity of it.
Okay, any other comments?
What would be the wording of this if we didn't have it this way? How would we deal with proxies?
Well, we basically delete the sentence
that
she'll be taken by the members personally.
Electrician got to put
it. If we say that, we'll come up with some language about how we had before. Look at a crossed-out section that we had before in the redlined version, which was each member entitled to vote shall have the right to do so either in person by one or more agents authorized by a written proxy signed by the member and filed with the secretary of the listener-sponsored local station.
Okay.
If I could comment just briefly, this is Dave. I think that it's very clear that amongst, at least certainly the KPFK local board and many listeners, there's a real concern about people controlling other people's votes. But I think there's also a real concern throughout the system relative to the ability of organizations or corporations to act as individuals. I was wondering if, insofar as it's impractical to maintain a ban on proxies, given that it would require a membership vote on the bylaws, which would make it almost impossible for us to ratify these within the next year, or several months anyway, that then we permit proxy, but not proxy only by other natural persons. That is, a proxy may only be given to another natural person, as opposed to a corporation, organization, or other entity. Is that permissible, Kevin? To restrict proxies to other natural persons?
Oh, you don't ask me easy questions, do you?
well, we answer those ourselves. Right or wrong.
I'm looking at the statute to see if it says if there's any limit, if limitations would have to be. Now, one point I would point out on 5613, and one of the things we tried to incorporate in our original draft was that we're not going to let these proxies last more than 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that provides one protective mechanism from having, you know, some big corporation or church or whatever the concern is, from, you know, having proxies and dominating things from an ongoing basis.
If I might say, it says no proxy shall be valid after expiration of 11 months unless otherwise provided in the proxy. Up to a maximum of 3 years.
Yeah, except the maximum term should be 3 years.
So I could give a proxy then up to 3 years. And if I don't say anything, then it's no good after 11 months.
Right. But the question is whether or not, you know, the proxy does specify.
Excuse me.
Concern would be that if we said it had to be a natural person, we might be falling under subsection E, which is, you know, restricting proxy rights.
I am going to have to leave the call. I have some things that I need to do. This, Charles.
Well, thanks, Charles. You
missing
all the excitement.
I know.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
See you soon. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Come back when you can.
Okay.
Okay, Dave. If you bring up extending the proxy right for, that doesn't seem to really fit with a membership lasting only a year.
Well, the point is that that's just what the law provides. So,
okay.
You know, frankly, you know. We can think of how things might manifest into a problem, but really we need to see how they actually will before we start developing solutions for problems that don't exist yet. And I think that I'm concerned about Kevin's pointing us out to 5613 does prohibit us from restricting or repealing or you know, proxy rights without an approval by the members. So I think that we need to vote whether or not we should permit proxies pursuant to 5613, or we should pick a fight and try to kick him. And I would argue that we should just follow the law for now.
Yes, I agree.
I agree.
And I would move that we simply strike 4.7. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the old article there. Simply, Kevin, what would you recommend?
I would recommend we reinstate the prior language of Section 11.
Okay.
Any objection?
Nope.
No objection. Hearing no objection. Let's move on, please. Thank you. Erica?
Now moving on to Article 4. There was a change to Section 1 that talked about, it just specified that delegates had to be natural persons, and that was addressed someplace else, so we just moved it. Moving on to Section 2, we changed the language to confirm that we're going to have 24 delegates. We wanted to have a fixed number. It's our understanding that 24 was the number which everyone was able to agree on. The 24 delegates would split into 6 staff delegates and 18 listener sponsor delegates. We also included the language we understand to be desired with regards to all local station boards having the ability to have associate station representatives on their board. I think we personally have a concern about the ability of associate stations to appoint a rep to the local station boards instead of having it be the other way around. Mm. But that, you know, is a issue for us to discuss if it bothers anybody else. And the reason why we raised that is because it seemed very important to all the local station boards to have the ability or to ensure that only people sitting on the local station boards were someone who was elected by them or by one of their representatives. And if we're going to give associate station representatives a power to vote on certain issues, I would be concerned as to whether or not our members would have a concern about allowing a third party to appoint itself to our board.
I'd like to speak to that. KPFA has had an associate station for 25 years. It's KFCF in Fresno. For most of that 25 years, they've had, by contractual right, the right to appoint someone to the local board. It's worked pretty well. They haven't sent us loonies or irresponsible people. The associate station is a station, by definition, that airs 75% of KPFA's programming. So clearly, the station approves of and likes what we're doing as a station, or they wouldn't want to associate. The associate station allows KPFA to expand its listener area from the Bay Area to all of the Central Valley and the Sierras. So there's a tremendous advantage to KPFA to having this, and Pacifica, to having this associate station that's broadcasting 75% of KPFA's programs during the day. So we see a great value in our having an associate station and would actually like to open it up so that other stations might be able to make this kind of a beneficial arrangement to expand their signal area without purchasing unavailable FCC broadcast licenses. It's a very small thing, one seat on what would then become a 25-person board. It's not going to be somebody who's going to have a great deal of influence over the outcome of anything that board votes on, but they can inform the board as to issues of importance to people in Fresno, which the local board might otherwise not be aware of. So I don't see any problem with an associate station board appointing someone to the local Pacifica station board. I think there's a great benefit to the station.
Did we say subject to the approval of the local station board?
The local station board has the right to throw them off if they don't like them, I think, somewhere else. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. I think our concern would simply be, is there a possibility at some point that we would have more, that one radio station would have more than three?
No, we limited it in the bylaws to three.
Right, but does that mean that only each radio station can only have three associate stations, period?
Only three associate stations can have seats on the board. I mean, this is not something that's very common that are even likely.
Okay.
Most radio stations are doing their own broadcasting, and they're not wanting to rebroadcast Pacifica stuff.
Right. Carol, isn't it the case that the associate station has to decide that they want to promote 75% of their program time with Pacifica programming?
Yeah.
So they select us. We don't select them.
Right.
Okay. I gotcha. That's fine with me.
Any other concerns on this section? I have one. I'm not sure where it plugs in, frankly. But one concern raised by the KPFK Local Advisory Board is that by saying six staff members, that's unclear and that there should be some designation that was what was suggested and voted upon by the Local Advisory Board here, is that the staff on local station boards shall be one-third paid and two-thirds unpaid. Thus, two paid and four unpaid. And it seems to me that might solve an ambiguity. So I would move that be adopted and added into Article 4, Section 2.
KPFA Lab would vote against it for sure.
Could you say what the percentages were again?
One-third paid and two-thirds unpaid.
And that's of the six?
Of the six.
You know, I mean, the national board never discussed this. No other local board wants it. KPFA would vote it down. We want to leave the staff free to elect who they want to elect.
And can't we just do this internally?
Yeah, that was my question. Is if they want to have all unpaid staff, is that a problem?
Well, the fact is that the unpaid staff dramatically outnumber the paid staff. I mean,
they do everywhere.
250 to 30 in Southern California. So the point of this would be to reserve two seats for the paid staff and ensure a certain specified division that's consistent across the network. And it would also address any ambiguities insofar as is unclear at this stage how those seats are distributed. So that's the motion from the KPFK lab, which I here present.
I just, David, this is Rob. Every place in the bylaws where we say, in order to do something basic, the formula has to be 5/7 of this and 3/16 of that and 2/16 of that, we make it harder for people to comply.
I appreciate your position. I'm carrying this motion from the KPFK lab. I've stated the position. I think it's cogent, and I think it's. I'm frankly using my chair by insisting that this motion come to the floor because I was instructed to do so, and I think it's reasonable.
But I was going to ask you a question. That is, if the language allows you to put any formula there that you want, why not just leave the language open so that you can fill the staff member seats as you see fit?
Well, and frankly, I think it's starting a fight too.
Well, and you have to be careful because it's the staff members who actually get to vote. So you have to be really clear that you're, you know, what happens is you end up having to also look at who's being nominated to make sure there's nominations from, you know, all these different groups which would like to be represented.
Yeah, okay, we've got a class of members which is called staff members.
Right.
And those that class includes paid and unpaid staff.
Right.
Yes.
And they get to elect six members to the local board collectively. And what you're wanting to do is require them to elect two paid and four unpaid.
That's the book from the KPFK lab, and that's the
I understand if the KPFK lab wants to require that. The KPFA staff is having a hard time getting paid staff to serve
right.
on boards because they work 40 hours a week and don't want to serve on boards.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm remiss in my duties as chair. I made a motion. Is there a second to that motion? Hearing no second, let's move on.
Okay, moving on to Section 3 of Article 4. Which is specific powers and duties. The change there is going to were in changes subsection B and subsection D, which were changes in the selection of the general manager and the discharge of the general manager, consistent with language I received from Janice and Carol.
That I circulated to the full board.
Okay. And then also you will notice at the very end of that section, which will be on page 11, it's going to be the last sentence. I know there appeared to have been some concern about the ability to have some approval process by the local station board for any acquisition by the foundation that was in a of a very high price.
10% of the total
budget. What letter are you on?
I'm on the it's section 3, the very last sentence, so it's going to be on the top of your page 11.
It's subsection M.
Mm-hmm.
Page numbers.
Oh, section 3.
If you go to section 3, after M, there should actually be a space, and then there's an additional sentence that says, in addition to these
station
duties.
Yeah, all right.
The approval of a majority of the local station boards, in addition to the approval of the board, shall be required prior to any acquisition by the foundation, the price of which is equal to or greater than 10% of the foundation's then annual operating budget.
So that would be $1.3 million today.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you know, that does give some type of oversight authority to the local station board for any.
We actually had an extensive discussion and a straw poll vote on that.
Right.
Yeah, and we were about evenly divided on that straw poll.
Right. So
yeah.
It's just proposed language based on this issue being raised for the board to look at and comment on.
Are you asking us to revisit it, Erica?
I'm asking you if it sets forth what your concerns were. Right, because it wasn't clear to me if the board had voted in favor of doing something like this or against it.
We were pretty evenly split. I suppose I have the duty to speak for the KPFT lab. The lab chair has communicated to me that this is exceedingly important to their lab.
Wait a minute. Say that again?
Teresa, aren't you on the KPFT lab?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forwarded the notes from Deb Shafto, the chair. And Teresa, I don't know if you saw Deb's notes, but she's emphasized time and again that this is of major importance to the lab you sit on. Is that true?
And define this. What does she want? What does she say we want?
That the local boards have approval that when the foundation acquires an asset worth $1.3 million, which is 10% of the annual budget, mm-hmm. that require approval of 3 of 5 labs.
Well, I have heard it expressed in lab meetings, and there have been votes on that. There have been more than one vote on that. There have been more than differing votes, you know, who wants for it and who doesn't want it. I have to remind people that this is a decision that the national board has to make, and that this is not something in the settlement that was given to the labs to make the decision on specifically.
I agree.
You know, what concerns me is it could provide us a lag time that could preclude us from pursuing certain opportunities from the board perspective.
You could deal with it by requiring the vote within the same calendar month as the board vote system.
Well, but I mean, you know.
Notice requirements come into play there.
Yeah.
And notice requirements come in and, you know, oftentimes business opportunities don't stay open that long.
Yeah.
Yep.
That would be my major concern.
That was what the discussion was about.
That's my major concern as well. I am concerned that the foundation needs to be able to act on opportunities. I'm also concerned that the foundation has in the past and may in the future overcommit itself without proper oversight. And so we're saying that we trust the board of directors to do that responsibly.
Well, the board of directors are LSB members, aren't they not?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is there a recommendation here?
Yeah, I'd like to move that we take it out.
Second.
Well, call the question.
Okay, is there any other comment? Okay, hearing none, the motion is to eliminate the proviso whereby the local station board have to pass by a majority on any expenditure equal to or greater than 10% of the foundation's then annual operating budget.
It's not an expenditure, it's an acquisition.
Acquisition.
For acquisition. Understood? Okay. Carol? The motion is to eliminate that provision.
No.
Rob?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
Abstain.
Teresa?
Yes.
Charles is gone. George?
Yes.
Yes. Ray?
Can you restate for me? I just got distracted. I'm at work, unfortunately. I'm going to leave.
Okay. That is in the provision in Article 4, Section 3, underneath the A through M listing of powers, it adds, in addition to these power and duties, the approval of a majority of the local station boards, in addition to the approval of the board of directors, shall be required prior to any acquisition by the foundation, the price of which is equal to or greater than 10% of the foundation's then annual operating budget. The motion on the table is to eliminate that proviso that requires approval of a majority of local station boards for such an acquisition.
I understand. We're voting now.
Remove it.
I would vote no against removing it.
I will vote no as well. The vote then is 3 no, 4 yes, and 1 abstain. The vote of 4 is from Rob, Pete, Teresa, and George.
Does this have to be a balanced majority?
It is not a balanced majority.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, I mean, we're...
I'm the majority.
No, George was appointed by the local station board. the local advisory board, George. Mm. You're appointed by Susan Darrow, yeah, pursuant to the approval of Judge Sabra. Therefore, technically, and Teresa was appointed by the plaintiffs, and there is no vote from the defense. So it is not a balanced majority. However, that would have to be challenged by somebody, which it may well be, in order for that to become an issue.
Say that again?
Could I speak to this?
It's got to be challenged. Okay.
You know, Girl, what we're doing is not adopting bylaws. We are trying to reach some consensus on bylaws that will then later be adopted. Since the majority of those present and voting want this out, I will bow to the will of the majority when we get to the vote of adopting these bylaws.
I thank you very much, Carol, for that consideration.
So I don't think it's important that we have a balanced majority. The board has voted twice on this, very close, both times. But that's where we are.
Okay, and I would concur
sometimes
that
you lose.
Any concerns, objections?
I just have a comment. I still don't see, I didn't vote to take it out or to keep it. But to me, if people who are on the national board are members of the local station boards, it just doesn't make sense to me. That, what, do people morph into something else when they go to a board meeting?
Well, sure, sometimes.
Dennis, with all due respect, that's a cogent observation, but not pertinent to the issue at hand insofar as the vote has already been taken.
Okay.
The issue is procedurally, do we proceed? I suggest yes.
All right. Erica, before we move off of this section of the bylaws.
Yes.
I have two comments.
Okay.
Going back to subsection G.
Yes.
To work with station management to ensure the station's policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner.
Mm-hmm.
The KPFA lab says this is a very long run-on sentence. It's hard to figure it out. So they would like to put a comma there and add the words and to ensure.
Where are you again, Carol?
Subdivision
G. Yeah.
And to ensure that the station's programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive.
Any objections?
We just want an and to ensure so that people know that that's one of their duties.
Any objections to that non-substantive grammatical correction? Okay, hearing none.
Okay, I have a question about E. I'm sorry, before we get too far away.
I have one more. I'll get through mine and then we can go to yours.
All right.
J.
Mm-hmm.
To actively reach out to underrepresented communities. The KPFA lab would like to add at the end of the list all races, creeds, colors, nations, classes, genders, and sexual orientations, and ages.
And ages?
Yes.
Okay.
Any objection to that?
I would like to ask Mr. Fink what he thinks of that.
I have no problem with that.
Hearing no objection, Janice, you had some concerns.
Trying to recall, under E, I thought that when the LSB screened and developed a pool of candidates, they did that in conjunction with the general manager. Is that not the case? Because according to this, that the general manager has no input. They have to choose from the pool from the LSB. And I didn't recall it that way. I stand corrected if that's what was agreed upon, though.
Hold on 1 second. I'll look back. That language came from the key draft bylaws that were given to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to flip to that section and see, because I think we just took that verbatim from there.
Okay.
Let's see. The language that was in the key draft said to develop a pool of candidates that the local station board would develop a pool of candidates for station program director, one of which must be hired by the general manager.
Oh, that says it.
Yeah.
This actually gives the general manager a little bit more wiggle room because
mm-hmm.
he or she can reject the pool and say, bring me another pool.
Right.
Any other concerns, comments, motions on these issues? Hearing none, let us proceed.
Go ahead.
I would like to raise an issue, just going back to the number of the LSB, which we've agreed is going to be 24. One of the issues that I know we've discussed with Carol, and I just want to bring this up because it really matters not only for purposes of the number count of the LSBs, but also the board of directors, is I've always been very concerned about having even number people making voting. It leads to situations where what happens if you have a tie vote?
Right, and a tie vote does not pass. I think we've processed this pretty thoroughly. Am I correct, ladies and gentlemen?
And what?
It's one thing to look at ties, you know, if we can't agree to change it, then, you know, we shouldn't change it. But oftentimes you're in situations where it's not whether we change situations as much as we've got something that we've got to do something about.
Well, you know, Kevin, the issue here is one that has taken months of delicate negotiations to figure out how many members to sit on these boards. Changing it at this point will mean that we'll have to go back several dozen. Will take us 5 more months to pass the bylaws.
I'm not suggesting we change the number after we develop a tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's what I thought Kevin was going through. What's your recommendation? And you want to say something in case of a tie?
I'd like to see you have something. If we have a tie, that there is some way we can get resolution.
Is there a motion on the table from a board member relating to this issue?
Well, you know, I want to talk about it a moment.
Yes.
Motions fail all the time. It takes a majority to pass a motion. If you don't have a majority, the motion didn't pass. I don't see why a tie is any different from a failed vote.
I don't agree with that.
It didn't pass.
And we hear why?
I don't. Well, why do people have tiebreakers? I just.
Sometimes some action needs to be taken.
Yeah.
And it's you need to take action. It's one way or the other. But by not taking action, you're damaging your company.
Well, but the tie is taking no action. It is no. We vote no. We will not take this action.
So a tie means no. The only way you can get something moving forward is if you have a majority.
That's right.
Well, my experience has been that could be a very dangerous situation.
Give us an example.
The board is being sued. Do we retain counsel or not?
Well, you know, frankly, if I might, Kevin, Dave Friedrich here. First of all, if the board is exercising its fiduciary duty and is unable to muster a majority to take an action, then I think that's significant. And that is, as Carol said, a stasis, as you put it, a deadlock. But the fact is, that is so rare in the first place. And second of all, if we can't muster a majority, then we shouldn't be moving on just slight margins anyway. And I think that there's an issue. And if we are at an 8-8, you know, vote on something, for example, clearly more discussion and or rewording of a motion needs to be made in order to achieve a broader answer, a broader support. I don't see any problem with having an even number. And I agree that for us to revisit this would be extraordinarily problematic and unnecessary, and I would move that absent any motion, we proceed. I would suggest that.
I'm not suggesting we change the number. I'm suggesting we have a tiebreaker.
I understand.
You're saying that the provision should be, in the event of a tie, the executive director can vote to break the tie.
Or the chairperson or whoever.
I don't think
we
should put the executive director.
The
chair is
already empowered to do that.
Carol, right. Is the reason you don't want to do it is you think this is just introducing another element that people hadn't thought of before, so we're changing what
no,
people agreed upon?
No, I'm philosophically in disagreement with Kevin. He says he doesn't want to change the number, but we have an even number. The even number contemplates the chair voting. Now, under Robert's rules, the chair doesn't vote. The chair is the tiebreaker. But in Pacifica practice, the chair votes and can create a tie or break a tie. So,
the Robert's rule applies.
Yeah. So I see that what happens is if we've got a board that can't decide to retain counsel when it's sued, we have a pretty stupid board, and I hope that they will be recalled. But that's
what?
Just so far-fetched that I can't remember. I mean, I can't picture that happening. What I can see is the board deadlocking about some very controversial issue that affects the whole foundation, and if it deadlocks, that means it doesn't require more discussion. It shouldn't pass.
Is anybody
I want to make sure I'm on the same page, y'all. Pardon me. Is the basic issues when we have a tie vote, why don't we have an odd number of positions?
No, that's not the issue. The issue is we have an even number. What will we do to break a tie?
Could I make a suggestion? Is Kevin the sort of thing that you would accept in the event of a tie, a second vote will be held, and if the board is still divided, the chair can cast an additional vote to break the tie?
Something like that would work. I mean, let me give you a better example, Carol. We've been sued, and half the board says they want to retain Erica, and the other half says they want to retain Kevin. So we have a tie break, and everyone agrees we should retain someone. We can't agree who it's going to be. And since we can't agree, no one gets retained.
Chair, I'm going to exercise my responsibility here and insist that if we're going to be getting into this, there needs to either be a motion that's seconded on the table or we move on. Is there a motion to be proposed on this?
Sure. I'll move then that, on advice of counsel, that we consider a provision that in case of a tie, a second vote will be held, and that if the vote is still tied, the chair must vote to break the tie one way or another.
You're talking about the chair gets a second vote?
Yeah.
So the chair gets two votes for everyone else's one.
Only when there's a deadlock.
Supplemental vote to break
the tie. Is that the way this is handled in Robert's rules?
No. In Robert's rules, the chair doesn't vote. Unless the chair wants to change the result, the chair can vote in two instances, one to create a tie and defeat the motion, or one to break a tie and pass the motion. That's what Robert's rules provide.
So Rob's motion is that in the case of a tie, a second vote would be held. If it's still tied, the chair then has a supplemental vote to break the deadlock. That's the motion. Is there a second?
I'd like to make a friendly amendment.
Well,
I can't do that now.
Hasn't been seconded yet. Mm. Is there any second? Lacking a second, the vote fails. Janice, did you care to propose a motion?
I'm trying to think it through because I think we ought to do something. It seems to me that there ought to be something there to break ties.
What about following and requiring that we follow Robert's rules?
And that we work with each other to create a better motion that we can support. I mean, I think that there's a solution looking for a problem.
I mean, our bylaws say we operate under Robert's rules. The chair isn't supposed to vote except to change the result.
That seems to make more sense to me than the chair. I just don't like the idea of the chair voting twice.
Right. Okay, is there any motion on the table?
Well, what about the general manager?
What about?
I'm the executive director.
No, none of us would ever agree to that, or the executive director. No,
the executive is unalterably opposed to that.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that the Pacifica National Board vote according to Robert's Rules of Order. Is that the right way to phrase it?
It's already in the bylaws.
It's in the bylaws, yeah.
So why are we even...
Okay, is there any other motion on the table? Hearing none, let's proceed.
All right, moving on to Section 4 of that article. Section 4 was just revised to clean up the language to make it clear that the foundation's board of directors does have a power of oversight over all the local station boards, and that under certain circumstances, actions, resolutions, and policies taken or adopted by a local station board can be overridden by a majority vote of the directors under the situation set forth in this section.
Which section are you in, this way?
Sure. I'm on page 11, section 4.
Oh, I'm sorry. While we're at L, I wanted to propose that we include, that we add to the language excluding paid and unpaid staff and management.
Where are we at? Where are you at?
Where?
L, page 10,
right.
L.
No, not page number. Article and section.
Article number, section. We're in other powers, other LSB powers and authority, Ray, under article.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I was waiting for this discussion to finish so I can propose something before we switch. And at L.
Under L?
Yes.
He's on Article 4.
Talking about diversity to ensure that the station works diligently towards the goal of diversity in staffing.
We don't want to have diverse paid staff?
No, I'm just saying that we would include paid and unpaid staff and management.
What's wrong with staffing, Gray?
Come on, Ray. Let's not nitpick this. I mean, staffing is staffing.
No, we would just clarify what we mean by staffing.
Everybody who is an employee or a volunteer at the station is staff.
From the executive director all the way down to whomever.
Okay. I mean, technically, as I said, my point was that to make sure that these trusts just be carried out at all levels.
Okay.
And we're just spelling it out. So if I don't have any support for it, I'll
all right. You know, I'll make a motion to ensure the station works diligently towards the goal of diversity in staffing at all levels and maintenance of a discrimination-free atmosphere.
That's right. Is there any objection to that?
Can you repeat it one more time?
To ensure that the station works diligently towards the goal of diversity in staffing at all levels and maintenance of a discrimination-free atmosphere in the workplace. Any objection?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing none. It is adopted.
Where exactly are you?
L
on page 10.
Okay. Is everybody on the same page?
Not right now. Hold on a second.
We've really got to trust each other to get some of this work done, ladies and gentlemen. If we have to revisit everything three times, we're going to be here all day.
Well,
you're going to be here all day anyway.
Well, okay. Sorry.
Okay.
So on L, adding afterwards staffing at all levels, the phrase
okay.
At all levels.
Okay.
Hearing no objection, let's move on. Next issue, please.
I was wrapping up section 4. Were there any comments to that section? Moving on to section 5, the changes there were to clarify that voting will be done for officers using the instant running voting method, which is the method I was told that the board wanted to use.
Instant runoff voting.
And we want to extend that even to internal voting. Is that, I didn't know that. That seems unnecessarily cumbersome to me.
It's wherever there's one seat to be filled, the majority, it empowers minorities, basically.
So that means even with the voting that's going on here now, we would be doing this according to instant runoff voting?
No.
If you're electing the chair of the board or you're electing the secretary of the board or something, you're filling a position. You vote by instant runoff voting.
With 15 or 20 people doing the voting.
It's very simple, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me ask. Okay.
That just seems so cumbersome to me with the small number of people.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it in Houston.
Well, I wasn't here. I wasn't in Houston.
All right.
So I don't know off the top of my head how you decided.
Hello, is that you, Bob?
But if the definition of instant runoff voting is set forth on page 17. You want to flip there for a reference?
Could you give us a section number, Erica, please?
Sure.
My page numbers are cut off the bottom of my copy.
Right. It is. It begins on page 14.
Article and section, please.
Section 14 is the same article we're currently in.
Mm-hmm. Section 14.
Yeah,
all right.
14th, and then it runs on to page 15.
Oh, it discusses the IRV.
Wait, what section is it?
Section 14, Article 4.
On page 14.
Page 14.
And section 14.
Carol, are you saying that whenever your local advisory board or local station board makes votes on who will be the secretary, for example, and they have more than one candidate, that you use instant runoff voting?
Yeah, or if they're filling one seat on the board of directors, they would use instant runoff voting. What that means is that everybody ranks their candidates 1 through 4, or however many. And if nobody gets the majority, the bottom person is eliminated, and the votes for that person are transferred to that voter's second choice until somebody gets the majority, and that's how the seat is filled.
It's a simple process once we get used to it, and I think it's a wonderful development.
Do you think it's what?
A wonderful development. It really does give voice to a broader array of perspectives in the election of individual people given, for example, officer spots and so forth.
It prevents the majority from filling every seat without ever empowering a minority faction on the board.
Makes majority rule less, majority
And do you think it? Do you think it's necessary to put in our bylaws that on all our internal votes that we will do this?
Yes.
Yes.
But it's only Teresa. It's not for votes like on business. It's not votes like this.
Okay.
It's for when we're having elections.
Individuals.
Okay.
Is that not correct, Carol?
That is correct, Rob.
Any other questions or concerns?
And you say so if we were at a lab meeting and we decided we wanted to vote for somebody to be a secretary and we had two people participating in that vote, would this apply? Because it sounds like it's going to make it.
No, actually it wouldn't. If there were only two candidates, one of them would get a majority.
Okay.
But if there were three, there might be no majority. So
okay.
The bottom one would be eliminated and his or her vote transferred.
But this does not just include votes for the national board.
It does. If you're filling one seat on the national board.
So I said, does it include more than that? More votes?
Only if you're filling one open seat for something.
Yeah, if you're naming a committee chair, if you're naming a officer.
Okay.
Any other specific assignment of duty.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, the next section, please. We're still in Article 4.
Which I've been talking about, Section 5. Section 6, we're just in clarification languages. Section 7, quorum and approval. We clarify that to include, and here's what I just want for purposes of clarification, since we've added the associate station reps and given them the authority to vote on certain issues, then we had to look at how we determine what quorum is. So the language we have is a quorum at any meeting of a local station board should be a majority of the local station board, including its delegates and if any its associate station representatives, and except as otherwise expressly provided herein, the approval of a majority of the local station boards, including the delegates and associate station reps, shall be required for any action. We would also add another phrase to just clarify that the associate station representatives only be counted for purposes of quorum if it was a matter which they were entitled to vote on the first place.
Can I ask you, I'm sorry, I didn't catch what section we were on, so I wasn't scanning with you, but are we making it clear that it's the majority of those present in voting?
Yes.
That's something that throughout this draft, people kept raising the question. It wasn't, and I can't remember where and when, but the issue is that we don't require a majority of all the members, only those present and voting,
right,
so long as there's a quorum.
Article 4, Section 7 expressly states present and voting.
That's page 14.
Unless it says otherwise, and I want to make sure this doesn't say otherwise.
I'm sorry, Carol?
Can you just point me to what section you were...
Article 4, Section 7.
Section 7. Okay.
Seven.
All right, so it says...
a quorum at any meeting of an...
All right.
Unless it's otherwise expressly provided herein.
All right, okay.
Any other comments or concerns on Section 7? Next, Erica, please.
Yes. Moving on to Section 8A, there's a couple of changes clarifying the associate stations and their definitions. We did catch a couple of inconsistent comments that were going to change. For example, the second to last sentence in Section 8A, which actually begins at the very bottom, says, which will be permitted one representative to sit as a non-voting delegate on the local station board of town. A said foundation station will be stricken, and just rephrased to indicate that it serves as a representative and not necessarily as a delegate, just to be consistent with the names.
And they also can vote except to elect directors, right?
Exactly. Section B that follows, there was a error in the cross-reference. It should cross-reference Section 4B of Article 6 and not 3B. And in Section C, the very last word, to designate a replacement of candidate, the word should be a replacement on representative.
Where are you?
Section C.
Uh-huh, okay.
The very last word.
Right, okay.
To be consistent with our terms.
Right.
Are there any questions? Moving on to Section 9, this was a tricky section because we're trying to address the desires to have the ability to remove delegates. So we set forth a series of different ways to do that. It would automatically end upon the delegate's death or resignation. B, upon the occurrence of a disqualifying act, i.e., deployment to elected office. Failure to attend 3 consecutive meetings, which absences were not excused by those present at any of the meetings in question. The fourth way would be upon the fair and reasonable determination by 2/3 vote of the board that based on the facts, the delegate has exhibited conduct that is adverse to the best interest of the foundation. My understanding also that we wanted to have a ability for the members to be able to remove. So E attempts to address that issue by first requiring that a percentage of the members put together a petition indicating facts that would support their argument that the delegate has apparently acted in some way that's adverse to the business interests of the foundation. And based on the receipt of that petition, the local station board would then do an election on the issue. And that election would be targeted only to the members of that affiliated with that radio station.
That class of voters. Okay, I have one comment under B,
mm-hmm.
where you use IE, that should be EG, for example.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
Yeah.
Well, there's a little typo. It's a little typo, the second line. At the top of the page, it should be more than a total of 3 associates.
Where are you?
The top of the page, A, the second line, the last line.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I must be going crazy. I don't see in here the ability of the local station board to remove its members on the same basis as the national board could do it. Didn't we intend to have that in there? I lost my mind?
We did add it to the other level, but it wasn't in this one.
At what other level?
We did it in the section that deals with removal of directors, but not in the section that deals with removal of delegates.
And well, the pragmatic question I would ask,
mm-hmm.
are we really comfortable with having the threshold as low as a 1%?
That would be 2,300 people in KKFK single area.
It's a pretty large number of people who are expressing dissatisfaction. And then all it does is it puts it to a vote of the members.
I mean, you know, when we limit it to a standard which is, you know, and with the best interest of the foundation, we're not even requiring there to be an impropriety. So what people can claim is, well, it's not the best interest of the foundation, but I don't like the way you voted.
Well, you know, Kevin, I'm thinking of at KPFA. We have 25,000 members. 2,500 would have to be pretty darned angry to go around and get the signatures
That's
gathered.
10%.
10%. We're talking about 200.
1% is 200, yeah.
Oh, 250.
50.
I would be, if it was 10%, I'd be a lot more comfortable with that.
That's what you're just saying, right. Okay, we're thinking of the
quorum. That's a good point.
But remember, this is a petition to get on the ballot.
Right. If it were 10%, then that would be a full quorum. It would require all the votes necessary. I mean,
that's true, you're right.
And a quorum of the members to even call the election.
For
the recall election.
So it'd be 250 people at KCFA or 230 in Southern California.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go back to the quorum thing.
10%
of the members is a quorum.
Right.
In order to remove that delegate, it would take 5% plus 1. Right? So
right.
If we have 5% plus 1, we need, in order to call the recall election, some number smaller than that. Otherwise, why hold the election?
Yes. Well, 1% is what's proposed in this.
Right. It's 1/5 of the number of votes needed to recall the delegate is what it is.
Well, 10% might provide a minimum quorum, but I would assume that you're going to hope to get more than 10% of the people to vote in these situations. So I think we're kind of mixing apples and oranges.
No, I don't. I think it's quite possible that we might only get a quorum.
Well, I certainly would be very adverse to empowering 5% plus one to be able to remove someone unilaterally.
But, you know, Kevin, members have the right. When they have the right to elect people, they have the right to remove them.
The only thing, look, is anything, if somebody's, which we have found in this last year, no matter what you do, you're pissing somebody off. So do you want to just allow 200 people to, well...
Go to recall.
Yeah.
Is there a motion on the table to alter the threshold number of members to petition for placing a recall on the ballot? It's currently set at 1% in Section 9 of
which
Article
is one-fifth the number of votes that it would take
four.
To actually remove them.
Yeah, I'll move to make it 5%.
That's all the votes it would take to remove them.
5%.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that only 10% of the people voted, that's true, but that doesn't necessarily go together.
Well, Kevin, I think as Carol will report, the turnout in KFEFA land was...
15 to 20%.
Yeah. So
I'm just concerned procedurally that, you know, is this where we really want to focus our energies on a regular basis? Every time something that pisses someone off.
That's right.
There's gonna be a vote here.
That's a legitimate concern.
Yeah, limited resources, and to me, I think we need to focus our attention perhaps on other issues besides, you know, people having arguments over little turf battles on votes. You know, these people are up for re-election on a periodic basis anyway. And if we don't even have a standard here where they've done anything wrong, or then someone disagrees on what their vote is.
I hear you, Kevin, but you know what? People, about 10,000 to 15,000 of them, put up over $1 million to save this foundation in order to make the boards accountable to them. And I don't think that they're going to do this frivolously. Mm. I really don't. I think, 1% is 250 signatures. 2% would be 500 signatures. I don't know. But to require that they put up enough signatures to actually remove the person in order to call the election is too high.
Is there a motion on the table, please?
What about if we change it to 2%?
What's your motion, John?
Exactly. I think that, Carol, this way, I think that hopefully people fought for the station for more than just be able to remove people. But clearly accountability is very important. But I think that if 1% is somewhat frivolous, maybe, so that everybody can just, a small group can just start throwing sticks into you, somebody's functioning immediately by just getting a few people who don't know about the AI or Pacifica to sign a petition, I think 5% is impossible. It's
right. It's not a meaningful right.
I make a motion, we amend it to 2%.
There's a motion on the table.
I second
the motion. 2% has been seconded by Rob, made by Janice. Any further discussion?
To change it from 1% to 2%?
Yes.
I call the question.
Okay, is there any objection to the calling of the question? Hearing none, then we're looking at the modification of Article 4, help me somebody, Section
9,
Section 9, Subdivision E, removal by the members, changing it to 2%.
Sub E, okay, and...
Okay, when you say call the question, is this time for discussion now?
No, it's call the question, ends discussion.
Oh, that's the end of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless you object to that, in which case
I object to it. I think
okay. All those in favor of calling the question and closing debate, and it needs to be a two-thirds majority. The question before us now is whether to close debate on this issue, and a vote yes is to close debate and move to the vote. Carol?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
Yeah. I guess we want to vote on it, right? We're going to vote on the 1 or 2%?
We're going to vote on your 2% motion.
Okay.
Yes. Is Teresa your vote?
Yes.
Yes. Charles has gone. George?
Yes.
Dave, yes. Ray?
Ray.
Okay, so in any event, we got a majority. The question is called, okay, all those in favor of changing it from 1% to 2% is a threshold for getting a recall on the ballot by members. A vote yes is to raise it to 2%. Carol?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Charles? I'm sorry, George?
Yes.
Dave? No. Ray?
Ray?
Okay, so that's four yes and one nay. Excuse me, that's five yays.
Six, according to my count.
Carol, Janice, Teresa, and George. Yes, David votes no based on my instruction from KPFK Local Advisory Board, and that is a pass. Motion is now the draft reflects now 2%. I have a motion with regards to a portion of this. If nobody objects, I'll proceed to that unless somebody else has another motion to bring from this section.